Okay, we're here this morning with Mabel Snodgrass Stubbs of Street, Maryland, in her home where she has a lot of artwork. And Mabel, you were born on May 25th, 1906, right here in Harford County. Can you tell us anything about where and when you were born?
Well, it's right down 543 now, as you call it.
Uh-huh.
And it was at the King Farm. Up there at the top of the hill, before you came to Emory Church and all that, you know, as you go down and up one of those. And I remember living there. I remember going down to the little place to wade, you know, a little bit of water.
Wade in the stream.
And then we moved into a place right in Mill Green, a house on the corner, while Daddy was having this home built. He sawed lumber. He was a sawyer. And the sawmill man, as I called him, and he sawed the chestnut lumber off of this place. And I put, the Davises were a family of people who built, they built this house, and it's built like, say, the one over in the corner here where the, the Wilson's home was there.
Oh, it was.
When we moved in, the store was down there. It isn't a store anymore, but the store, the railroad went through. It made a nest around our place, for as I said, it's not greatest. And we moved in 1910 of November. And I must have been four, because I had to wait so long to go to school. You know, I was like, my father said, I'm going to fix a place where my children can go to the church and go to the school and be here. So there was a telephone company just started down here in the street at that time. Of course, it was Highland. And the train came through and brought the mail. And he was a very outgoing man. He got out of that lumber bit when the war came along, and he and Paul got into driving the truck for the...
Paul was your brother.
Yeah, that's what I was. My oldest brother. And then Dale's my... Then there was a sister who died at 8 months. Ruth Anita. She's buried at Emory. And Dale is still living, and he's 94. He keeps me going all the time. He was in Bel Air. He was in the bank, as you might know. But anyway, we moved in here. And it was just the same big house. This is the outside of it, just like my father left it, because my husband, Donald, didn't want to change anything to the outside. He wanted to stay just as was. Somewhere, he even had a picture of what it was like then, with three children outside. But anyway, we moved here. Well, then, the money got short. So Mother took in some boarders. And she got some of the girls who wanted to go over here to school. This Highland School had just been opened in 1908. And Stephen moved here in 10. And we even boarded two of the girls. And then we boarded a teacher, Bessie Mason Beatty. And then we boarded two men, Edgar R. Harbor, the principal, and Earl C. Beatty, the agricultural man.
They all lived here.
They all lived, and I dwelt in that as a child. And I know that I give Mr. Beatty the credit for my love of flowers and the, you know, that. And Bessie used to try to get me to sing. She said I was singing off key. Well, I can still sing off key. But anyway, we had boarders from then, oh my, until I, well, the latest one was one that Clara Asbury, Charlie Gladden's wife, boarded here. I mean, now, you know, that's years has passed by in the meantime. So we lived here, and we had a wonderful home. And I walked to school, and I was jealous of the kids that had to drive a horse and put it over in the sheds there by the church. They parked their buggy there, and the horse went in, and they'd come in, and they'd come in the evening and get them and go. And I used to be so jealous, but I only had to walk.
Well, now, you started at what school, though? Weren't you too young to go to Highland?
I went to Highland in the first grade to see Miss Bessie Beatty.
Oh, I thought it was the high school, just the high school then.
It might have been. You might have thought that, but it wasn't. Oh. It was grades all the way through from 1st to 11th.
Oh.
See, I graduated in the 11th grade in
1923. Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
It was just regular school with all those good old teachers and men and women. And I took agriculture.
Oh, you did?
Well, you know, they gave French. And I thought, well, I like French. Maybe I could do it. I don't know the clue or not. But anyway, I did take French and I did pretty well with it. Then, in the 10th grade, we found that I was nearsighted. All that time, I never knew it. Never knew why I couldn't see the blackboard. Well, anyway, I got my glasses, and goodness, then I took Latin.
Your life really changed.
Yeah, I just really got to work. But I do give Mr. Beatty a lot of credit for that agriculture stuff that you take, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated in 1923. Grace Carter was in my class, Fendall Cushing, Samuel Ady. I mean, all the big names.
Right, all the names that are remembered around here.
John Dunnigan. I don't know. And Wilson Gambrell. Wilson Gambrell was there from the day I started. He was a day older than me.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever, he would make a good senior treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to sit back of me, and he would catch polecats. And when he'd come, oh, the odor was horrible. I shouldn't tell that. But he was funny. He always had a thought about what he was doing. So I was in a good group, and I managed to get third. I could never be first or second, because that was Grace or Fendall. But I was third, that was all right. So then, it's over. What am I going to do? And all I had piano lessons from Pearl Griffith. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to go to Peabody. In Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went down and had my interview with the head man, I can't think of his name now. Oh, and I cried, I forgot my piece, I forgot everything. And I cried, oh well, he said, you're in.
Really?
And so then I went by train to Baltimore to take my music lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall which day and week. And then I got to know the girls who got on at Bel Air, very famous people in Bel Air. Anyway, we'd go to Baltimore, get off the train, get on the streetcar, and get over to the Peabody and do our lesson. And then I had to stop, which came up. My teacher, Miss Woods, said, I shouldn't tell a thing like this. Well, she said, all I can say is, you sight read well, you are intelligent, and you have a big hand, and that's it.
Well, that qualified you, huh?
What was that? I stopped taking music lessons, but then I started giving music lessons. You know, you do through the years, they bring their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. Well, then if we look in this, my niece has collected for me all these delightful things. And somewhere here starts off. Well then I graduated. In the meantime, after that I started going to McDonald's.
Uh-huh. You graduated from where?
Right over here.
Over here at Highland, you mean?
In the hall. We had a hall here.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe never saw it. But anyway, it was a lovely hall that the men had built.
Huh.
With the seats on the incline, and a beautiful stage up here, and oh, we used to have plays and people singing. And
what happened through the hall?
Why, they sold it to a man, and he took it down, said the windows were banged up, and it was wonderful, wonderful material, and good cedar. Somewhere in this county is the whatever's left there. Anyway, the hall, that was years and years later. That's after I was grown up and married and everything. And we bid on it. We wanted Donald wanted it for me.
Wanted the number.
He thought, you see.
Or wanted the building.
Yeah.
He wanted the building.
See, after I finished high school, I thought I wanted to go do... what do I mean? Exercise, you know.
Oh, okay.
Games and uh-huh. learn that. And I had to go way up into New England to a school.
Oh.
My father said, no, sir, you're not going that way. So, I stayed here. And we graduated in the hall, and I was here. And in the meantime, there was a group of girls in this community that wanted to paint china. And they were looking for a place, and my mother said they could have this room.
Hmm.
And they put a table in here, and the lady came up from Baltimore and would bring the china and teach them how to paint, and then she would take them back to Baltimore with her and fire them. I mean, now, that's the first time I ever had a brush in my hand, I think.
Wow.
I was full 18, I still think, because then back that time I got into 4-H. That was going around.
Mm-hmm.
I was going around, and I finally got into that. And just to end off this little sequence, let me see. What was I trying to tell you? I graduated.
Graduated from Highland.
Yeah.
And
this china painting teacher came, and it's right here. It says, I went to Peabody Conservatory of Music, Bowling Room after 8 years of piano, private lessons in china painting, where the teacher discovered my ability for naturalness with a brush and advised me, her, to attend the Maryland Institute of Art, Baltimore, Maryland, where I could board in her home and study occupational therapy in her profession. And so I did. I applied and received a Maryland Senatorial Scholarship for 2 years to the Eastern to Maryland Institute of Baltimore, Maryland. And at Maryland Institute, I studied the occupational therapy, and then I had courses in design, crafts, pottery, textiles, theory at Shepherd and Pratt Mental Hospital, Towson, Maryland, and when I graduated, I received the James Young Prize. Then that summer, I was at Camp Tech Akita at Porter's Corners, New York, as a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got a position of occupational therapy aide at St. Elizabeth's Hospital, Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to work there, and of course, Donald was going to college at the University of Maryland, that's close. I was living down there, so we were together a lot, and suddenly we decided to get married on December the 22nd, 1927. Married Donald Starber Stubbs, Street, Maryland. Says I taught piano lessons. We moved to Washington later. I was hostess in Continental Baking Company, makers of Hostess Cake and Wonder Bread.
Hmm.
And then I was self-employed, serving cooperative dinners of food products to Washington churches. You know, I'd bring the foods, the whole thing, and they'd have all the tables set, and everybody'd come, and they'd get the food, and then I'd get up and talk about each one of them.
Oh, so, uh-huh.
You know, about the elephant meat, and about the Wonder Bread, and about the Hostess Cake, about the ice cream. Oh, we lived well then, because there's lots of food went home,
because
it was left over. And I did that, and then in the Washington churches, and that's how you tell one and you soon tell another, and you see it soon. It was a busy thing. Somewhere I have a book with letters from them. So then, we were married. I came back to Street, it says, May of 1934, to my home here.
Mm-hmm.
34. My father had died in 1930, but my mother was here and my brother.
Uh-huh.
And where I became a business partner for Donald and an accountant. I kept up accounting for years. We were doing farming, mushroom growing, Baltimore tomato and bean canning, Harford County, tomato and bean, at the Don West Stubbs Company.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I made and sold, had sales of crafts, batik, tie-dye, block print, so and so. And every now and then, I would make myself a dress to keep the art spirit alive. Because when I finished my art course at Maryland Institute, my design teacher said, Mabel, don't ever give up.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am still thriving on it. So, that's it.
Then
Dorothy Emerson got hold of me at 4-H camp, which was down on the way below Bel Air somewhere, I forget where it was then. That's before we had the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And we all were gung-ho for a camp of our own. And one day my father and I were riding along the road, down on the Rocks Road. It was the road we could ride on.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked over there and he says, you know, that's where that camp ought to be. I said, what do you mean, Daddy? He said, it's a good place over there. There's lots of nice trees and there's water. There's a lot of springs. He knew because he was a lumberman.
Uh-huh.
And I told this to the powers that be, Derek, and whoever was the head ones, I can't remember all their names.
Head of the 4-H?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they sent Mary Spencer and I. We just teenage girls to Baltimore to deal with the man that owned that property. All that property.
Uh-huh. Who was that? Do you remember?
It's recorded, I'm sure, somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there knows what has happened because the offices are all changed from what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, I don't know. Maybe it isn't important. But it might be important to know that we really purchased it, this great big piece of land. See, it starts. You know where the camp starts?
Mm-hmm.
It runs clear up to the where that falls is in the rocks. You know where you drive down the road and there's
mm-hmm.
the falls, we call it the falls.
Right, mm-hmm.
And of course straight up there is the King Queen seat
right.
on that side.
Right.
But we own the county own.
Huh.
So next thing you know, they're having to bring in old hens and things, you know, to earn money, and you've heard all that. You get that
uh-huh.
from somebody else. But anyway, that's not really my story. My story is that I'm the one that went down to try to get the thing. Then we got it, and then we had to raise the money for it.
Uh-huh.
And then we had that the 4th of July. They built the swimming pool and one house, I guess, we had for a camp.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, Dorothy Emerson took me out on the hill there and taught me how to stand on my feet and speak.
Really?
And I can do it. I've done it for years. You know, when we came back to home here, way much later, I got into the homemakers.
Uh-huh.
They were big, big people then.
Mm-hmm.
And I led them. I was president for the number of years they always were. And we did many things. And that was great in the county. I was known in the county for that.
And the Homemakers Club,
the
which
homemakers.
Was a countywide organization. No,
yeah.
The Highland Homemakers
the
existed.
The Highland
so
Homemakers.
You were in charge of the Highland or the whole county?
Both.
Oh, really?
First I was Highland president.
Mm-hmm.
Then they asked me to be president in the county.
Mm, wow.
And only the oldsters, I'm sure there's some that would remember. Now, I don't know whether it's in here. Well, anyway. Whatever. We're to the point of us, we're back here, living here in 1934, and we've stayed here from then on.
Oh, okay. So you and Donald moved back here in,
yeah.
in 34.
And
your
then,
mom was still here.
Yeah, and then when she died in 1950, this was automatically mine. My name was already on this property.
Mm-hmm.
And so I own the land that goes with it. It's a nice little chunk, 20 acres.
Oh, uh-huh.
And we've been here and we revised it over to suit us. And it's been very happy. Then, you see, what's your next question?
Well,
I'm mad at myself.
No, I think we could go from your mushroom business and how did you get into horses and things
oh,
like that?
All right. The mushroom business went on to, it's right in here somewhere. Well, I didn't finish reading this. I guess I should have read this to you. 1952, he sold the canning plant at Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So that means that we had it before that. We'd been going to Florida every winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1973, we leased the canning plant down at the Hickory to Diversified Signs. That's when we stopped canning at that place at the Hickory. Maybe you don't even know it. And then in 1984, we discontinued mushroom growing and canning, and that was over in Baltimore County. We had a great big factory over there where we grew mushrooms on the beds, and then we canned them in the canning house. And then in 1985, we sold our dairy cows. They were over there.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
See, but we just always stay here. This is the head place.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, we try to go to Florida, and he decided he wanted his own place in Florida. In 1981, we bought our home in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And right next door was a famous artist down there, and she's my best friend. And she just picked me up and took me to the art classes, and we took classes under the best artists in the world.
Wow.
And I have progressed and progressed. My paintings in Florida really are more abstract than maybe what I have here.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have here, let me see now. I did my thesis in 1960. I did my Master of Fine Art.
Uh-huh.
And those are my thesis paintings.
Oh.
My subject was the soundness of intuitive painting. And there's my first, I have a very unexpressive thing, and then I did all the different ones out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had two or three CDs. Those are my, but that one, now that I did in my first design class.
Oh.
When I first went to Maryland Institute, I told you I went down the train maybe,
mm-hmm.
boarded. Well, that was it. That's painted on airplane linen.
Oh.
And look how it says, held up 1925.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's pretty good?
It's wonderful,
it's the Gordon Stoney Blackbird story.
Oh, is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
So that's the oldest.
So you would say you started painting...
1925.
That's 1925.
I painted 70 years.
Wow.
Somewhere I write it down that for 70 years I've painted. In the meantime, I got my license when I was 16, and I drove for 68 years without an accident
uh-huh.
or any ticket. And then I took a left turn and I shouldn't have. I guess my eyes foxed. I thought I saw a girl, and I didn't.
Wow.
They couldn't finish me. They finished the car, and they couldn't finish me. So same thing. See, they won't let me drive a car because my eyes just don't see like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. That's my story, but I do very well. And Donald said, how can you paint? Oh, I said, I can see everything. I just don't see good, maybe. Oh, Mom, I don't know. That's the kind of story I'm But I'm a very happy one. And we go here to church. And we go to church in Fort Lauderdale.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So it's Fort Lauderdale that you go to each winter.
Mm-hmm.
And
for 6 months, if possible.
For half the year, every year.
Yeah, we go mm-hmm. like in November, middle of November, and come back the last day of May.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it's the answer because my chest, when I finished teaching school, did I say I taught for 14 years and commuted from here to Baltimore when I went back to school in 1947.
You talked about occupational therapy.
Oh, well,
you taught school too, didn't you?
I never went back to it.
You only did that for a short while.
Yes.
And you started teaching, you taught art?
I taught art to the children in the elementary schools in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, uh-huh.
Yeah, some up here in the
In York County, too.
York County, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was... every time they had a germ, they'd open their mouths and I'd catch it. So it was time that I stopped teaching and got my doctor, and that's what this thing says, I believe. Doctor's orders. Yes. It tells where this gave me so many credits toward a doctorate degree after I had already gotten my, what do you call it? It's in the
You were the art resources teacher in Baltimore City School.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, in 1971 you retired.
Yes, that's when it was. And then we didn't get our house in Florida till 81, but in the meantime, we've been down there and we found a doctor that knew what to do. He cleared my chest out. And it was wonderful. And so then, from then on, I know that I have to see, for instance, I have two blouses on here. Two blouses today and another little shimmy shirt to keep this chest.
Keep you from getting chilled or...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Keep from anything happening today. Now here's... that's in Florida.
Oh, that's Fort Lauderdale News. April 14, 1987. Painter says she is still learning to perfect her art.
Yeah.
Two great photographs, or three great photographs of you.
Yeah. And is this one on? Now there I am with the dyeing. I do a lot of dyeing.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am working with Sid Solomon.
Mm-hmm. This is an article in the Aegis of October 22, 1987. It says, at 81, Mabel Stubbs still enthused with art.
Yeah.
It has a nice color photograph holding up some artwork.
And
we have another article in the Fort Lauderdale News.
Yeah, I had the whole paper to myself once that little, you know, once they got everything going.
So they have you in their archives down there.
Is this it? Is that what you were looking at?
Artist strives to develop her talent. This is another.
Yeah, that's me. That's
Mabel Stubbs, 81, works hard painting with acrylics on canvas in her backyard in Lauderdale by the Sea, eager to advance her career.
Yeah.
Great photograph. Full color. She's outside painting.
I don't know. You've seen one like that, haven't you?
Yeah, the copy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you are famous down there in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes. Well, I'm famous up here, too. I mean, you know, it works back here. Give me that, I'll just, unless you want it for something.
Yeah.
If you don't, I'll just put it back in.
It'd be good to have some copies of these things for your file.
Yes. Oh, now, this is the latest. Just now, while I'm here, I have a friend who takes one of my paintings to a Broward Art Guild where they show.
Oh.
And this one got third place. This is Guadalajara. This is an oil painting, and the man says about Mabel Stubbs. I read that in a minute.
Let's see here. Lone Prairie? No, that's somebody else's.
You get down to, you come to where it says Mabel Stubbs, then you move the article.
Let's see here.
I think it's there.
Minnie Shapiro, Hank Warner. Oh, Mabel Stubbs, okay. In a naive and primitive mode is Mabel Stubbs' Guadalajara. This lively number is composed of nothing more than broad dabs of oil paint. People and animals emerge from a house, and the entire tableau suggests nonstop motion.
Yeah, and I'm just delighted.
That was in the East Sider, August 21st, 1996.
Yeah.
That was just
that's current.
A month ago.
And I tried to get this put in the paper up at Delta.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Star.
Uh-huh.
And I sent up a great big one. It's about this big, the one I sent the original. I've had that copied down, so maybe that size he'd put it in.
Yeah.
See?
Uh-huh.
So I'll have to try once more to get it put in. I thought it was pretty good to have my name, you know. And there it is. He's exactly right. That's what I was doing, putting Dobbs paint on it.
Broad dabs of oil paint. Composed of nothing more than broad dabs of oil paint.
and animals and people emerge from the house.
Yeah.
And then what's the last thing that's I don't know.
You see it, I'll get it.
Oh, yeah, motion.
Motion.
There's so much motion. Non-stop motion.
Non-stop motion.
Well, that would be that.
That's exactly what you were doing.
The thing was, in the paper, was this explosion that happened in Mexico, at Guadalajara. And that's the place where everybody goes. And it described that the automobiles, the people, the cats, and all of them were up on top of the buildings and things. And I was imagining as I painted. So it would be motion and all. And he's really caught it.
Wow. So that painting has historic reference. Has historic reference now.
Yes, it does. Now, do you think that this would be the thing to put in the paper?
Sure. Yeah, I think the Star would be interested in running that.
Well, I don't know.
As soon as they have space.
I'll send it to the Aegis.
That's a good possibility, too.
Of course, they did our Nanya's birthdays. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Well, they've done that, so maybe if I'd send this, it might be printed.
They ran something on your 70th anniversary, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
You had a party. That was recent, wasn't it?
I had a big party.
Where was that held? Over at the church?
It was held first down at a restaurant at Bel Air. I can't think where it was. And then we had the next day, that was Saturday night for dinner. We had 60 for dinner, I think.
Wow.
And then on Sunday, we had a display of a lot of my work through the years.
Where was that?
Down in the basement. At the lower level.
At the church?
And refreshments there. And that was on the Sunday afternoon.
At Highland Church.
And what year was it? 60?
Your, what? This party? Your anniversary party. That's
the anniversary party, I guess, was on their 60th anniversary.
Oh, I thought it was your 70th. Okay.
All right, 60th. Maybe it is.
You don't know which, you don't know how long you've been married? Oh, you haven't had your... Okay, so maybe...
Had my 70s for driving or for art, but I haven't had it for my...
So you were married...
1927.
Oh, okay.
Did you get that?
Yep.
You need that.
1927. That's right, okay.
So... I'm continuing to paint. Not very much now. But that doesn't matter. You get an urge and you go ahead. And there's the thing that was at our 90th, there's all the families. His mother and father, my mother and father, my brother and hers. And then you see that thing on the floor is where they had them sign in. And this, they took pictures of everything. The Aegis man was there. Just scanned that one.
Wow.
As the people came through.
Oh, that's what it was. You were celebrating your 90th birthday.
And Henry Heaps and Mary Harriet instigated it.
And
see, I had my 90th on May the 25th, and Donald had his on June the 19th.
And that was just this.
And they thought that was important enough to celebrate it.
Donald S. and Mabel Snodgrass Stubbs will be at home in the Fellowship Hall of the Highland Presbyterian Church on Sunday, June 30th from 2 to 5. Everybody invited to congratulate a fantastic couple on their 90th birthdays.
You see, and about 270 people came.
Wow.
You'll see them.
Oh, my. This is great. Oh, yeah. So Henry Heaps presided,
And we had a ball.
There was a photo in the Aegis.
Yeah. Yes, I have it somewhere.
One of these.
It hasn't gotten into this yet.
Uh-huh. I remember seeing that. This is great. They made up this album for you.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And then I have another album where everybody signed their name.
Uh-huh.
So I know exactly who was there.
Uh-huh.
I remember them passing by and then shaking hands and wishing us well and all that.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was a great day.
Yeah, I bet.
And we're still eating some of the cake and ice cream.
You still have a cake and ice cream?
But
it's a nice little album.
Yeah. Well, I'll just put it back here.
If we could, I'd like to return to some of your earlier days here in the village of Highland, after your house was built here and your family moved in and you were going to school at Highland. You said one of your boarders here was Mr. Beatty, for whom Ag building at Highland is named. What can
well, it was built by the men.
Built by?
Yes.
He probably helped to build it.
Oh, all of them.
Right?
Donald, my father, everybody was involved.
Uh-huh.
And the man that actually built, put the blocks together, boarded here.
Oh, uh-huh.
With us. And that was quite, Donald would be good telling you that. But we were all excited about it. It had to be. We just had to get that building from Mr. Beatty, so that he could have his agriculture classes there, and then,
mm-hmm.
you see, he used maybe a little bit of this land at the back,
mm-hmm.
with his experiments.
Yes, uh-huh.
It has changed hands into so many things. The children now, the little children, you know, go there now.
It's the Highland Children's
it's one of those
Center. Things. What do you remember about Mr. Beatty?
Oh.
Living here with you in those
well,
days?
Well, he was a quiet, reserved man. He always was interested in whatever was going on. And whenever Mabel wanted to do something, well, Mr. Beatty was right ready to help me if that's the necessary thing.
Uh-huh.
I remember he had a bicycle.
Uh-huh.
And that was new, and my brothers loved that. They tried to
uh-huh.
get to ride that, you know. But we were quite a household here. My father had a sense of humor. My mother was a quiet woman, but my father, he always liked his laugh, but he always was headachy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then you see, after he involved drove those trucks for the war, why he got into selling Fords. He got that building that's down here.
Right.
Now, where it always was.
Paul, your brother, had
and then
garage.
And then we got the Chevrolet agency, and you know we had that agency for 50 years.
Wow.
We were one of a kind at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had it toward the end. So, but then Paul sold it.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy was gone.
Mm-hmm.
No one was working.
How did you meet Donald?
You want to know? Yes. We were in school, I think fourth grade.
At Highland.
At Highland. I mean, fourth grade teacher. I was in her room. Maybe it was the sixth grade. I guess it was the sixth grade. And we were staying at the window. You know, you can look out at your playground.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, she said, "You man." And she said, "Well, that's Donald Stone. Is he going to be handsome?" Well, blonde curls, you know. And corduroy suit.
Uh-huh.
And
talking shoes. About you.
When I first saw you. And I remember that uh-huh. day.
I just asked her how you two met.
So then it was at school. And all through school he always sort of monitored me. And of course I'd get out of hand.
Uh-huh.
But I graduated 1 year ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on to University of Maryland, to college. And you see, in the meantime, I went through this thing with the China painting teacher, and then finally
mm-hmm.
got down to Maryland Institute in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And from there, then we circulated back and forth in the And then we decided to get married on December the 22nd, 1927.
Should have been 4th of July.
Why?
We didn't get you anything.
So you were school friends in the early days, and then you just sort of hooked up together again in Baltimore.
Oh. Yeah, it started.
And then of course, as we've gone on, we've been very close. We've worked very close together, whatever he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to help too, and he's tried to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Will you sit with me?
No, I'm going up to the toilet. He's going to go get parts for this one.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
What's he going to do about my mailbox?
He's done, fixed that already, put a new one up there.
Did he put the letters on?
Yeah.
Damn
it. Ask him when he comes back. He's going to get stuff for the toilet.
They broke out of the thing out of the mailbox.
Kids did that.
Oh, really?
Well, he must have had a baseball bat to hit the one across the river. Then it, but hours later, yanked the door off, yanked off the, what do you call it, the thing tells us mail in there.
Mm-hmm, the flag.
Flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yanked it off.
She saw a show of the 90th birthday opening and so on.
It was a big party they had for you over there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was
like
Saturday.
It was nice. I showed her this.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
I call up people.
Yeah.
I call up people and they apologize for not being here.
Uh-huh.
Said, well, so you know what Henry said to us? He said, well, they ought to come to church. They'd known. I called up to apologize because I didn't know about Pearl Moore.
Oh, yes, I didn't either until I saw it in the paper.
No. Mm-hmm. So we called up to apologize. And I did. And he said, mm-hmm.
What's your next question?
Well, I was going to let you continue on with your memories of your living here with your family and your boarders. You were talking about Mr. Beatty, and you said had...
Tell us something about Mr. Beatty.
I was trying to remember Mr.
You
Beatty.
You never lived here with him, but you had him. He was always quiet.
Well,
I learned my...
He rode a bicycle a lot.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And he used to ride a bicycle and come up to our house in Delta, and me and Mr. Harden would spend the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He lived in Delta.
Oh.
He had to commute from Delta.
Donald.
On the train sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Drive sometimes.
Huh.
I remember that.
Then you moved down to the farm.
Because that's when I got a chance to ride the bicycle.
Oh. There weren't very many bicycles around.
No, there weren't.
Have you got an appointment for me?
At quarter after 11. You can't see the doctor. You have to look at it. Did you look at that darn neck?
No, she didn't.
No.
Look.
So it's spread out. The woman
come
said
look
it's red.
At this,
I looked at it upstairs.
I know, but
red.
Here.
Where you? Did you get a
it's
bite?
It's red. See the red?
Uh-huh.
It's a tick bite.
See
tick.
Where the patch is and the red eye around it?
Yeah.
That's it.
Is it still there?
Yeah. It's here. Well, I'm going to take it down.
When?
We're after 11.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you got a half hour yet.
Where are you going?
Dr. Lynch is here where the jail is.
Oh. Well, we'll finish this up in about 10 minutes, I guess. 10
to 15, whatever you do.
Yeah.
15
mm-hmm.
minutes would be easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you tell him about your 4-H thing? That was the biggest thing. One of the biggest things.
Yeah.
You mean getting...
Got the property, yes.
Got the property, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she asked me who the man was, and I can't tell her.
We can find that in the records.
Yes,
no,
I think so. And what we paid and how many acres we
right.
had was a great big acre.
I know, it
right.
got a very cheap price at the time. It was wonderful. So
uh-huh.
said, I remember that.
Thank you.
Back, rest of the life. Well, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Mr. Stubb. That's okay, I can wait till I get home. Many 3 miles away.
We do that ourselves a lot. Where do we get home?
There's another toilet up there. He has another one. There's two up there. There's three.
Okay. Okay, so now what about the horse? There's something about horses.
Oh, in 1973, he was sitting here, there. And he said, I'm going to get a horse. I said, no. Yes, he said, there's a horse for sale up in Philadelphia.
Hmm.
So, we get ourselves together and go up to where it is. and they'd bring out this horse, and all she could think about was bite the green leaves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nice looking horse. And she was a Morgan.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, what's his name? Morgan's horse.
Right.
And so we came back home, and I don't know. Finally, several weeks later, I called her and offered her a price for the horse and the cart. And my gosh, she accepted it and said, come today. And we had to gather up the Roy Testament and the pickup and a cart to hold the horse in and go right up and get it and take along with her.
Uh-huh.
The horse. So we got her. I guess we put her down here in this barn.
Mm-hmm.
See, this was just a barn for calves or something like that. But mm-hmm. there were some stalls. So she was here. Then one horse is lonesome by themselves, so you have to get another horse. That's the next thing. We got another horse.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a sale, and the next thing I knew, there was another horse, so there's two horses.
Okay, and you got your second horse?
Got the second horse, and fixed the fence around back here, so mm-hmm. they could go out and come in. And he's, well, I don't remember, he'd remember, when we bred the second horse. Yes, that was, her name was, she's out of an awful good stable.
Locally?
Apparently, what?
A local stable?
No, down by Annapolis or something. I've been to the place. It was a beautiful place. Maybe down in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Donald! Hepatica. Hepatica was the horse's name.
Mm-hmm.
And in front of that is the other name. And why can't I find it? Why can't I remember at the moment?
Well, that's okay.
Well, anyway. Sure. Anyway, then that started things. Well, then then Donald's mother died in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
I said that was 1973, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
So then she left the farm and all that to Donald and Mary Carey.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us to 91 to get straightened out.
Mm.
Well, then he started to acquire more horses, but in the meantime, he took the old cow barn and gutted it and made it into a real fashionable horse barn.
Mm-hmm.
Big stalls and places where they could be and where they could go out into.
This was down in Virginia?
No, this is down here in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
You know, where 440 comes in to 543?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you're going to Dublin.
Uh-huh.
You know how to go to Dublin by 440?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, right down, after you've gone about a mile, there's a little old school that is a church,
mm-hmm.
and you turn left there and
Wilson
go into the
Road.
Church farm on the right, and that's our farm.
That's Wilson Road, isn't
Wilson
it?
Wilson Road, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know.
So that's where our horses are.
Oh.
We have five there now, two in Florida, and one in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
through the years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got, nine, seven, six, eight.
Hmm. Well,
and then some of our horses. Donald,
yeah.
What's the name of the farm where Hepatica came from? What?
It came from Rapidan River.
Rapidan River, down in Virginia.
Oh,
isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Wow, look at that horse. She's beautiful.
Wow. That one's in Florida, at Ocala.
Uh huh, uh huh.
She's for sale, I hope.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one for sale, and this is down the farm down here.
Oh,
this is
beautiful.
Friend of ours riding her.
Mm-hmm.
We're in there, Mabel and I are in there riding. That was the other done not long ago. Here I am.
Oh, gosh.
We have
beautiful horse.
Really, it's his thing, this horse bit.
The cart.
It's his story.
Mm-hmm.
Meadowbrook cart, they call him.
Oh, uh huh. That's a special kind of sport.
Yeah,
the carts. Those are beautiful horses. And they're for sale. This one's for sale. And this is a Morgan horse.
They're all Morgans. We don't have anything else but Morgans.
Are they the best horses for the carts?
They're better all around. They're more. Their manners are better.
Oh.
They're quieter, smaller.
Oh.
They're
very nice.
It's not very good horse for me.
They're,
mm-hmm.
they're about 14.
If you need one, well, we got one.
Okay. Beautiful. That's really exciting.
Well, would you care to go down
sometime
and ride?
She's being trained to ride now.
Uh-huh.
See, ride and drive.
What? That's a beautiful color for a horse. What's that called?
That's called a bay.
Oh, that's a bay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Mabel, this is a pretty long interview so far. I guess you have to...
I don't think I've said anything much.
Oh, yes, you have. Yes, you have.
What do we do next?
Well, I'm just going to sum up here. First, I should say today is September 5th, I believe.
6th.
Today's the 6th of September.
Isn't that my voice? 1996. He's in Virginia. I'm down there. I'm going to sell him.
Gorgeous.
This is what those carts look like close.
Mm-hmm. And what are they called?
Meadowbrook.
Meadowbrook carts.
We have a cart.
See, you can come in from the back and you lift this seat up
mm-hmm.
and then and step inside and drop it down. So two seater.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. Looks comfortable too.
Yeah, he is good looking.
Wow. What a beautiful form. They have such beautiful shape.
Yeah, he's showing off.
Beautiful. Well,
what we're talking about is they
eat a lot, don't they?
Oh, it's their feet. That's the worst.
It's expensive feed.
Feet. It's their feet that's the worst. Isn't that right, Don?
Yeah.
What's wrong with their feet?
They're always shoeing them or doing something, trimming their feet or something. You know?
Oh.
Most all horses have feet have to be kept
that and right. You think that our horse's feet is just right, and we suddenly find that she has trouble, doesn't she? Our best horse.
That's the one there hooked to the cart.
Mm-hmm.
Advertiser for sale, and they'd tell people to insure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's very
good. What else
is so, we live up here, but the horses are down there at the farm.
At the Wilson Road farm.
Yeah, and Roy Testerman takes care of them, puts them in there.
Does he live there? Is there a house there? So you have a boarding horseman there?
Well, he's a living, he works our farm for us, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And his children are in school.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's already graduating, she's somewhere else. To the next stage, but the two little ones are in like third grade or second grade, seventh grade or something. But we don't have any children. Well, what are the situations?
Well, got quite a lot of stuff here, but I think you have to get ready for your doctor's appointment. You had dairy cows, I had forgotten that.
Yes.
It says you sold them in August of
85.
11 years ago. Where was you had a dairy operation here?
No.
Or over at the Wilson?
In Baltimore County.
In Baltimore County.
We had 200 acres over there.
Oh.
That we bought in 1940, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we grew mushrooms and canned mushrooms and had the dairy there.
Oh, I see.
This is where it's nice to be.
Oh, this is Fort Lauderdale?
Our little patio.
Uh-huh.
Did you find my picture?
Yeah.
They're good pictures.
They're just mostly flowers, what these were.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What are those called? I saw them. Yes, I saw them in California. They're very popular out there, too. Beautiful. We didn't have
but they're thorny.
Yeah.
Oh, they have thorn that long. And
I saw them, yeah.
Yeah, I'm amazing. They're bleeding when I get around them.
Mean.
There's a gardenia tree dying. I'm not dying, I mean the flowers dying.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've been all beautiful.
So
isn't there one there with them beautiful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big tree. It's not a little thing like this, like a gardenia.
It's a big shrub, yeah.
Yeah, about 10 foot wide and about 8 foot high.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got to trim it back.
Huh. pecans and magnolia, looks like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'll take up your time.
We have a nice little house down there.
Yeah, it looks like it.
It's all on one floor, too.
That's the best floor.
Yeah, that's handy, huh? Yeah,
you're darn right. Come in, car, you're right there.
Uh-huh.
I said, here you got to walk clear in and carry stuff up the steps.
Right.
So.
Too bad.
Well, I'm gonna get out of here. I'm gonna turn this off.